Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we're wrapping up our Murderbot coverage, because the finale just aired. We just watched it. And we're going to talk about episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, and a little bit of sort of retrospective about the season. There will be a season 2 at some point. It has been renewed.
Yes.
So we will eventually, I'm sure, come back to that. So, episodes 7, 8, 9, and 10. Thoughts? When we left off, I think Murderbot had just exploded Labibi's head.
Yes. And as Murderbots do.
And everybody was a little bit traumatized and untrusting after that.
I thought it was fantastic.
Everyone on the show.
Oh, okay.
The Preservation Alliance people.
Yes. It was a hell of a shot.
You're right? A corporate rim all the way through, James.
Space pirate.
Okay.
I mean, there was a chance that he could have missed.
Right.
But it was only Garofalo.
Not a very high one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not have Alien Nookie on my bingo card. That is the main thing that happens in episode 7, is that two aliens start getting it on top of their hopper.
Yes.
I guess the engines are warm and
right.
Just bring out
the engines were warm.
Yes.
Well, they need a nice warm place to gestate their eggs.
I do have one beef, though, because I feel like whoever wrote Rotti's lines really missed a chance when somebody, I think Garothan said, is there anything we can do to get them off? And I feel like Rotti would have like elbowed somebody and gone, I mean, I feel like they've got that handled.
Just wait long enough, it'll happen.
Yep. And then in this one, it turns out that the top of the line sec units can jam the threat indicator or whatever it was,
assessment
module, right. Yes. And so we have another fight between Murderbot and a sec unit, and he gets rescued. Actually, everybody tries to rescue him. And
right.
They're very bad at it.
Yes. Doesn't Arata throw a rock that hits him in the head?
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's Baradwaj throws the rock. Arata just rushes the sec unit and good whatsoever. Right. Rotti throws a spear, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Which gets caught, Captain America style, kind of, and thrown back. And then, you know, the Deus Ex Machina in this one is not Dr. Mensa with a mining drill. It's the angry alien that had its eggs destroyed.
Yep. Stay away from my babies.
Yes. Yep.
I was a little disappointed because in the short story, mm-hmm. the sec unit can hold its own. It thinks in ways that the other sec units don't think about because of their governor modules. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he's actually able to defeat them.
Yeah. I feel like it's a surprise attack, and things are going poorly, but not necessarily disastrously poorly, I think. I think the human's intervention probably
made it worse.
Murderbot some effectiveness.
maybe. Just, you know, he got whooped once, he got whooped again. I'd like to see him be successful.
Well, Murderbot is definitely better against the big alien things. Because he fights one early on and defeats it. Where
this one got eaten.
Yep.
His head ripped right.
It didn't have routines, I guess, for that. The problem was that the other one hadn't watched enough media to know how to fight aliens.
Well, and it probably helped that it grabbed it by the head and then shook it until the head came off.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Which has an interesting kickback in episode 9.
It does. Yes. 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 And in episode 8, we get some views of strange goings on Sanctuary Moon.
Oh, yes.
Where John Cho loses his head. And
I love the Sanctuary Moon episodes. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun. And
they're so campy and over the
top. The Navbot goes crazy. And
yep.
And I love the smile. My theory is that when they kind of spiral down into that event horizon of the wormhole or whatever, they'll go back in time somehow. So John Cho can be alive in future episodes. Although Murderbot can just watch them out of order and it's fine.
Sure. It'd be interesting to know the episode numbers every time he watches one to kind of know where they go in the scheme of things.
I feel like it's more like the Ferengi rules of acquisition where they just threw out a number every time and they're like, well, hopefully we haven't used that one already. I think somebody eventually wrote a book about the rules of acquisition.
Yeah, they collected them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we finally do meet Evil Survey, although they're never called Evil Survey, and I'm a little bummed about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're what are they called? Grey Chris,
right? Yeah.
And it's Rita from The Handmaid's Tale, who is the Martha in Offred's house at the beginning. Oh, yeah. Who's the lady with
the
piercing.
And the face scar.
And the face
cheek scar.
Face scar.
Yeah.
Cheek scar.
It kind of makes me wonder what Labibi was there to do.
Yeah. I think Labibi was there just to get them access, right? And she had a mission and failed because...
Mm-hmm. Looked like a pathetic person from Preservation Ox. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to be a mole, essentially, I think. Yeah.
I like that Murderbot says to them, you know, no, you look, you don't want to go up against them again. And all of them remember that they did better in the fight. But it plays it back for us. And he says, you know, your odds of surviving another physical encounter are very, very low. And they're basically all like, so you're telling us there's a chance.
Low to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the people in the book are much more competent and smarter than these people are.
Mm-hmm. So, the thruple.
Yeah.
The thruple is a plot point, and as far as I can tell, it's a plot point just to get Rati and Pinley and Arata out of the room when Labibi does the betrayal.
What do you mean?
Because they're up kind of discussing that he's more into...
Pinley.
Yeah.
And Arata is jealous.
Right.
Because she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or has the hots for him.
And Arata's like, wait, are you sure? Which, you know, when
you're trying to say?
You look back to the beginning episodes, Murderbot already knew about that dynamic. Rati had the hots for Pinley.
Yeah. But they signed a contract. That makes everything better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. But Murderbot has a plan. And so in episode 9, the plan, well, does the plan come together?
Sort of. No.
He had concepts of a plan.
Yes. Yes. He hadn't anticipated on interference from the native fauna.
Yes. Yeah. Pterodactyl flies by and eats the drone. We finally got drones.
He definitely should have had redundant drones and more of, redundant drones.
Yes.
Yes. There should have been more drones throughout the whole season, in my opinion. I missed all the drones. I want more drones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping in season 2, there'll be more drones.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, smaller ones, right?
You
guys haven't seen Superman yet, right?
What?
No.
Huh? Oh.
Haven't seen what yet?
Superman.
Oh, no.
So Mr. Terrific's in that, and he has these T-spheres, and that's kind of the way I picture the drones work.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, because he has them in his pocket.
Right.
And the one drone that we saw was, you know, fairly sizable.
It's pretty sizable,
Boombox sized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clock radio size.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing. Like the old clock radios with the CD in the top, you know. It's even kind of the same shape. We had one exactly that shape.
Might have been.
Yeah. With the one little speaker, you know.
Yes.
Yep. Extra bass.
Yeah.
I like how bad Murderbot is at small talk stalling. Well, there was something that I wanted to ask you. Where are you from? How do you like this planet? It took me the second time I watched it, I finally recognized the guy who's like, I hate it here. He's like the IT guy from Suits.
Oh,
so
that's funny. I like how he actually engaged with Murderbot.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Because the plan was to have Garothan get in range with a drone in order to be able to hack into the beacon and launch it, and the launch would immolate anything. Seems like very poor design.
Well, plan A is just to launch it. Plan B was Sec Unit was going to sacrifice himself to get everyone, all the Grey Crisp people over there, so they were immolated as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone objected to, and it failed because the drone got eaten.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know why you have to hot pilot the beacon the whole time instead of just tell it go and then wait.
Yeah.
But
you know, put a command in the queue.
Plot reasons.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
It's got a very small buffer.
Yeah. So then Mensa.
Good. Oh, takes later.
Yeah. Mensa flies the hopper over there and essentially says, you know, hey, we'll give you the data. Give us Sec Unit and, you know, everything's cool.
Right. Alien remnants.
Yes. So the launch finally takes place, which is great and everything. It's just that, and Pinley straight up murders somebody with a wrench.
Oh yeah,
right. And feels bad about it.
Garothan's a little more sanguine about it. Yeah, better than me.
So. Right.
And Murderbot then, my headcanon is, dives off the cliff with Mensa and has a super inflation module, so he turns into like an emergency thing that they put under jumpers.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Or a hang glider. Hang glider would have been rad.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, it's kind of the, like, at the end of Jason Bourne, the Bourne Identity, when he jumps down the stairs and surfs on the dude.
Right.
All the way down to the bottom. And that somehow keeps him from breaking every bone in his body, or at least both his legs.
There's a few other things that kind of, I mean, that's where the episode ends, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, Murderbot ends up saving Mensa's life because he's miraculous with an inflatable unit.
Yep. But catastrophic shutdown, yeah.
But both hoppers should have been destroyed.
Were they not?
Because
They were both on the same plateau at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they flew over there with their hopper, and then Mensa came over with their hopper.
Right, yeah. Right.
So then how did
now
they
they're
get,
walking home.
Yeah, now They're walking home.
Well, yeah, I
mean, with no sec bot.
No sec unit.
No sec unit.
It's going to be a lonely one.
We didn't really see how they got rescued off planet, period, though.
Right? No, well, the idea is that the beacon,
the hoppers probably, the hoppers could have been destroyed. We don't know. We didn't see.
So I'm imagining my thinking is that they just walked over to Evil Survey's habitat,
right? Because it was Evil Survey's beacon that got launched. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I suppose. Because if that was also Evil Survey's habitat, they would have had a sec unit repair thing.
Yeah,
and that should have been able to completely repair sec unit.
In the time that it took them to get picked up.
In 5 days.
It does yada yada the entire, everything post-fall.
Right.
Yeah, and so there's this, that is the beginning of a long series of things which begin to bother me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So yes, episode 10, the finale, sec unit wakes up having been repaired.
Right, fully refurbished again.
Yeah, yeah. And the sec unit techs are complete dicks. The ones like, you know, who are you? Are. I'm your father.
I slept with a trash compactor and out you popped.
Yep.
Garbage disposal.
Thank you. But then they wipe the memory, and I was going, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
And then they put in a new governor module.
Right.
And I was like, what? So I don't mind the memory wipe part because it gives Garothan something to do and kind of completes the Garothan isn't a total jerk.
Right. Well, Garothan's not a total jerk. He just hates SecBot, Sec Unit.
Anything Corporation Rim.
Right? Yeah.
And Sec Units are Corporation Rim.
Yeah.
But, you know, crucially, Garothan is the one who knows, look, they're not going to throw away all of the data. They're going to have to sift through it and see if there's anything that is worth, that'll make us some money.
Kept it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's able to leverage some of his past contacts there to go and get it and go full Johnny Demonic.
Yes.
I pictured him going, I've got 100 gigs in here. And yeah, you'd think there would be a buffer overflow of some kind, or at least normally I would have expected like a nosebleed. That's the standard lingo in all modern media for you used your brain too hard.
True. So whether you're using psionics or
Stranger Things, Heroes, you know, or maybe even Firestarter.
Did Firestarter.
He had headaches, right?
But, yeah. No, he started having nosebleeds too. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a massive headache and then he puked.
Yep. And
so did Gura.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sec Unit gets repurposed as security.
Yes.
Right.
Which I thought the timing on that, you know, where's he going? What's he going to be used for?
Security.
Like it had the cadence of a punchline, but I don't know. To me, it was just a clunker.
Kind of a no duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sec unit.
And gets a beat down and has flashbacks to the reason that it calls itself Murderbot.
The massacre.
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
We've talked about that at least a couple of times. That memory is not why it calls itself Murderbot.
Oh, okay. In the books. Okay.
In the series.
Why does it call itself Murderbot?
It's never really said. It picks a name randomly.
Hmm.
Yeah, in the first episode, it kind of does. In the books, that's why it's called Murderbot.
Okay.
It, calls itself.
It was going to call itself Freedom Unit.
Right.
Right.
Yep. I did like the way they... It was kind of fun. Garothan's looking through the database, right, and coming up with nothing. It's like, Sanctuary Moon.
Sanctuary Moon.
That was funny.
I feel like after dumping all that memory in there, it would have gotten like a message that I get in Gmail all the time. You've used 90% of your Google storage. but you know they do the hookup, which is the only time that Garothan hooks up to Murderbot to do good. Every other time it'd been like trying to spy on Murderbot.
Right, right. Especially when they connected themselves so that Murderbot could disable his pain sensors.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he didn't want to take pain meds.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense given his past and, you know, struggle with addiction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Really, Garothan, I think he's got the second best character arc in the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
Who's first?
Murderbot.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
And then, but the one I expected to have a great arc was Dr. Mensa. And she ends up becoming, maybe learning how to deal with her panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's always stepping up to be more active and more direct.
Yeah.
The longer the series goes, the more that happens where it's like, you know, we'll get to consensus. That's okay. But we need to do these things now.
Yeah. Well, and then at the end, when dealing with the corporate wonks, right? It's like, you will call me Madam President.
Yes.
So she seems a lot more confident and self-assured at the end of the first season. I like that you know, when they're like, hey, did the memory thing take? And Murderbot's like, I'm missing some episodes.
I'm missing episodes 522 to 684.
Yeah, it was over 100 episodes, I think.
Well, now we know that Garothan couldn't take everything.
Right.
Evidently not, yeah. Or Garothan just knows that was a down season, like season 4 of Community. So
maybe he threw out that season, or actually, it was probably more than one season because it was hundreds of episodes.
Deleted the filler episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. For revenge for not having storage space for the Hopper repair manual.
Yeah. And I like that Alexander Skarsgård does some really nice work just with his expression when they're telling Murderbot, look, you're going to be totally free. Everything's going to be great. You're going to come back with us. I'm going to be your guardian, you know, and it's like, it's too much. It's too fast.
Yeah.
And just looking bewildered and looking like I'm not ready for this. I'm an institutional man.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great analogy. Do you know what that's from?
Nope.
Shawshank Redemption, Brooks.
Oh yeah.
Well, or even okay. Red uses it. I'm an institutional man now, you know.
Right.
Can't make squeeze it, right, a single right. drop
without permission. Yeah, exactly.
And been a while since I've seen that movie.
What's that?
Been a while since I've seen that movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I like that Murderbot sneaks off. You know, that's canon.
Yeah,
and I really like the scene between Murderbot and Garothan. I feel like David Dalmasquino does a really nice job. Like he has changed a lot. Like you said, he's really got a better arc. He's definitely loosened up, and his whole understanding of what SecUnit has gone through
mm-hmm.
is really great, and I love that. You know, like, look, I need to go check the perimeter, and
yeah.
and from previous episodes, Garothan knows that's the deflection. You know, when I need to not be around people, and there's a really nice eye contact,
yes,
and then a little smile from Murderbot.
Yeah, I love, I mean, from the series writing, it probably sounds like that I don't like it very much. And the truth is, it's a well-written series.
Mm-hmm.
I like it so much that if I don't see a lot of things better between now and December, I will definitely nominate it for a Hugo for 2025 content.
Oh, yeah.
I might like it better than Andor in certain ways. And I need to think about that and weigh it more. But yeah, all the callbacks forward and backward. So, you know, I need to go check the perimeter.
Yeah.
And then making that eye contact so that he knows. Yeah.
Okay. So Colin has watched this episode 3 times, the episode 10. And he was like, and there's something in it that made me mad. So we were trying to come up with what it was. So my guess was the flashback after the memory wipe.
The flashback after the memory wipe?
During the riot.
When he was beating up the people.
Yeah, when he's beating up the people, and he has a flashback.
He flashback to the massacre, I guess.
I did not like that because I thought it was unique that some of his organic memories were preserved, but mm-hmm. none of the most recent ones were preserved. But that was not the thing that made me generally angry.
Okay, James, do you have something?
I didn't know. Actually, I didn't really pick up anything in particular.
Was it that they completely yada-yadded the new governor module?
No, but I think that's something to be concerned about as well. And to be honest, having done a little of these kinds of things, you never make the hardware module be software. Software is way too easily to corrupt.
I thought that was kind of dumb, actually. Yeah.
You always make it hardware.
Yeah. Hardware token is definitely better than a passcode.
That's right. That's
like,
right.
I get that he hacked his governor module, but I expected there to be like a physical module or something.
Like the combat override.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because leaving it in place and not explicitly saying, oh, we purchased your contract, the governor module's gone, makes it so that, are they going to deal with that next season? Because I feel like the governor module being there right. makes it so that anytime he encounters anybody, Corporation Rim, they can just order him around like he's their own Terminator.
Yeah, they kind of, I guess it's assumed that since they restored his memory that he knows how to hack the new governor module as well.
Yeah.
But he downloaded the specs for the governor module, so that's how he did it. If it's a new one, he'd have to find a new set of specs, and who knows how long it would take.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let me get started on this. Let's see. Passcode 111111.
Yes. So do you have a guess for what I hated in this episode?
The yada 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 from getting rescued?
No.
That was kind of annoying.
That is.
It just, like, I felt like we missed something.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden we're back on the station and he's on the bed. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
I would rather at least have seen that they were both grievously injured.
Right.
And then, you know, then yada yada how they get out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dr. Menta looked like, you know, that was okay. Like she had just fallen down the stairs.
Right.
And they fell like 100 feet.
It sure seemed like it was a long way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, the thing that I truly hated was the fact that the company, the corporation, took possession of Murderbot back. That never happens in the story. And no. I think it's particularly problematic from a continuity standpoint. And this is why. We know that they're all made from cloned human material, which means every one of his generation probably looks exactly like him. Which means there's absolutely no way to tell that that is the Murderbot sec unit.
Yeah, I feel like the way the show worked, right. they showed that they kind of got random faces.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, because the one that he ends up ripping, you know, the fake Garothan head, that was from a different generation of sec unit.
Right, but when in the episode that shows the behind the scenes in the Murderbot factory.
The one where they show them all getting made.
It did show that there was like a vat with a bunch of faces.
Yeah. Okay.
They had shelves of different faces and body types and... Which was also interesting because in the book, they're all the same body type, right? They're specs for what a sec unit is. And he's constantly like, well, yeah, him and Art like alter the spec.
Right? Yeah. And this doesn't go into any of the stuff about how, like, in future books, Murderbot is like, I need to be a little shorter just to blend in a little better.
Yeah. For automatic sec unit detection.
Yeah. Because like the variances in gait, you know, between a sec unit and a person.
And the fact that he grew hair and a few other things.
Well, no, Murderbot is evil if it grows a goatee.
Yes.
So, yeah, I can see that being a gripe that the corporation took it back. And that's part of the problem with yada-yadaing everything about how they got off the planet.
Right.
And, I mean, really what happened was they checked back in and ice rolled in and took Murderbot away.
Yeah.
And so real Murderbot is in a detention facility someplace in Alligator Alcatraz. So one thing that you were hoping to have happen, there was at least a nod towards it about it being a message to Dr. Menta.
Yes and no. And I don't like that part either. I mean, it's really touching that she recognizes that he has left. And then she starts looking off in the distance at the ship that is leaving. She can't possibly know that he's on it.
Right.
And then she nods. Like she understands and everything. And then during the voiceover, he says, sec unit out. And in my head, and maybe that's one of the problems with me in adaptations, where I expect the adaptation to look like what I have in my head.
Yeah.
That may be probably a bad plan. Would be that we would be watching Murderbot in the ship leaving with the voiceover happening. And then the view would rotate so that we know that we're looking at a screen that Dr. Menta is watching, and then the final words would be, and this is why I am, you know, I'm telling you why I left, because you are my favorite human, Dr. Menta, Murderbot out.
Yeah. You wanted to pick up a tablet or something, you know, be looking at.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. the way I saw it was that it was on the feed somehow, that she was actually receiving from him, from Murderbot right then, sorry, from it, sorry.
But none of them seem to have feed interfaces. And she doesn't have a built-in one. Everyone else had to use external components. The only one who does have a built-in feed is Garothan.
Garothan.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought it was interesting that their communications gear was always a little tiny microphone and not like an earpiece or some piece of wearable tech. I mean, it was like on their arm or like something, but then they'd, you know.
Like TOS Star Trek.
We did not get Art explicitly.
No, and you shouldn't if you stay accurate to the first story.
Yeah. I think they very easily could have made the shuttle at the end perihelion.
Totally.
True.
But and I was a little surprised that they didn't. But Art is somebody who's picked up in the middle of the next adventure, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. He's not the first bot that he picks up off the
right at the very station. Beginning.
Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning of the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bob Marl, who guested on Hugo's for Pandemic Fiction, was wondering, you know, he really enjoyed the series, and he was wondering how they were going to handle Art being, you know, disembodied.
Right.
And do you have thoughts on that? How would you like to see it done, or how do you think they will?
When I think about somebody doing a disembodied voice in the Murderbot universe, I think of Kevin R. Free,
yeah.
who is the narrator for all of the original audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what a great way to acknowledge his work, because he does a good job of doing art. He can mm-hmm. do Art's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd want to see like a Navbot, like from Sanctuary Moon, which would be twisted and weird.
That same actor would be amazing, but Murderbot would do a double take.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I'd want to see like a Max Headroom floating head.
Yeah, I feel like there will be a face of some kind.
You think there will be?
I think so. I think there will be. That way they can use it an actor and do essentially mm-hmm. mocap and replace them with, you know, holographic.
Mm.
Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes.
There are so many times, though, when Murderbot interacts with Art by looking up at the ceiling versus anywhere else.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they don't go that route.
you want Art to stay disembodied?
Yes.
And to be an asshole?
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder if we'll get to see the name of Perihelion on the shuttle or the ship as he boards it. Because that's why he doesn't either pay attention to it or doesn't care. Right. So he names it Art.
Right. What do you think about, you know, they've invested quite a bit in developing the characters from season one. And now mm-hmm. we're going to season two where Dr. Mensa and Garofalo.
They really shouldn't have a whole lot of them.
Yeah, don't really factor. I wonder if they'll take elements of that second book and combine it with the third one or you know, in order to get to center still the Preservation Ox people, but also have Art and some of the adventures there. I mean, the second book is pretty important because that's where you actually learn what happened with the malfunction or whatever.
Yeah, and Art doesn't... Yeah, so if they're going to develop Art will not be in the third book because Art isn't in the third book.
Yeah.
Right.
The third book is all about, you know, the rescue books. Of Mensa.
Right, yeah, I forgot about that. I haven't read them in a long time. So.
And then, do I have that right?
No, the third book is when they go. You know, when he goes to the planet where he... did murder everybody.
Oh, I thought that was the second
one. That's the second one. That's Artificial Condition. The third one is where... No, he goes to the space station that was being terraformed by Grey Chris to show that they were doing illegal things.
Right. That's the third
book. And then the fourth book is The Rescue of Mensa.
Okay. Right.
Yep. Fifth book is The Murder Mystery.
Right.
Sixth book is the visit to the planet of the...
I think sixth book's where we get three.
Yes. And then the seventh book... is
I haven't read the seventh book.
Do you want to borrow it?
Yes.
Good. I have an autograph.
You have it?
I do.
Oh, okay. Which that's why I read it, because it's unavailable.
No. Network. It's one after
System
that.
Collapse?
System Collapse.
Mm. Yeah. That's the only one I haven't read yet, because it's not available anywhere.
Actually, James, I have bad news for you. There's one other story you have not read yet.
No.
Because it came out last night.
I haven't read
any
of the short ones. So.
Oh, they're great. Mm. They're great because they do a lot of fill-in and backstory mm-hmm. development between Murderbot and Mensa, right. And then Art.
Okay.
There's an Art story that came out just last night.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So totally awesome.
That's
very
awesome.
Excited to see that.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of further thoughts, James, or we can go into sort of final thoughts of what we thought of the season as a whole.
Yeah.
Did you rewatch it over the last day or over the last week?
No, I did not.
You didn't rewatch the whole series?
No.
I think feel like it was your idea.
I know, it totally was my idea, and I did not get to it.
Failure. All right.
Yeah, I kind of ran out of time.
Okay. I pretty much watched the entire show last mm-hmm. night. The episodes are really only like 22 minutes.
Yes, right.
Yeah. The only problem is on the Apple TV interface, if you try to short circuit how long it takes it for it to auto roll, mm-hmm. the other one, if you just go down to continue watching, and click the next one, it'll take up from where you left off last time you were watching.
Oh,
it doesn't reset the time.
Dang.
And I thought that is very poor UI
that
design.
Sucks.
Of course, the Apple TV thing is terrible.
There really isn't a good streaming interface that I found.
No.
Yeah.
No, everything's got issues. It's just the Apple TV one. It's so it looks so slick that it's really hard to tell what's selected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
I have a problem with that.
They're like, what if we made the one that you're selecting
slightly annoying
4% larger than the others? Like, oh, so not visible to the naked eye.
Right.
I see. Okay, great. Yeah, perfect.
Especially the older naked eye.
Yeah, yeah. So, I did rewatch it. You rewatched the whole thing.
I did. I watched it last night and then a little bit today.
I think I was more positive on it the second time through. And I mean, I only watched the, I guess now I've watched the final episode twice. but yeah, there were some nitpicky things I had. I remember thinking that nothing happened in episode three. There was a little more than I remembered. I did doze off.
Oh, no.
I forgot. I dozed off during one of the episodes. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that one wasn't holding my attention.
Yeah. The pacing is weird.
The boring episode.
So if everything was 6 minutes long, 10 episodes, or 22 minutes long,
yeah,
then 10 episodes is 220 minutes, mm-hmm, which is a little over 3 hours, yeah, which is an extended movie in our universe today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, since you both rewatched it through again, does that do anything for the pacing for you guys? Did that do anything?
There's still moments when I'm like, that could have been tighter.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
Because I was wondering if it was just a product of us waiting a week between episodes, or does it get any better as you shove it all together into a movie?
I mean, I still maintain that five fuller length episodes would have worked better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or just dropping it in threes like Andor did.
Right.
Yeah, I think they could have cut a lot of things and shortened the content. Mm-hmm. I don't know there might be other things behind making a 10 episode season versus a 6 or 5 episode season from like a money buyback standpoint,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, for a subscription cost or some other kind of thing. Labibi totally does not need to be in the story at all. You could drop that character and mm-hmm, there would be right, no effect at all.
Yeah.
The alien sex episode, same kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The format does kind of make me think it's going to be serialized at some point with commercials or something.
Oh, since everything was like a standard 30-second, 30-minute television episode length?
Everything is the length where they could put commercials in there and it'd be a standard 30-minute episode.
Except for episode 10, it was 35 minutes.
Right.
And I think episode 1 was longer, too.
Yeah, I think it was. And in streaming, right, you don't have to commit to doing 22 episodes.
I know.
22-minute episodes.
He was saying, he's talking about like buyback. If it's some, whatever CBS buys it or whatever, mm-hmm, wants to throw it up on, or Paramount, Hulu gets it.
Yeah. Or Amazon with commercials.
Yeah. Or if Apple eventually does commercials, which it probably will. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah.
Sidebar. I was reading, I can't remember what I was reading about back in the day with video stores,
mm-hmm,
right? You had the ability of a movie to not do very well in theater and then to crush on home video.
Oh, yeah.
Still do really well.
Right. Princess Bride.
And yeah. And now it's, you get the whatever happened in the theater and then basically a mm-hmm, one-time payout for the streaming rights. And I'm sure there's, you know, rentals and that kind of stuff still happen, but most people just wait for it to show up on a service.
Right.
And then, you know, do it that way. So you really do, you miss the tail of theater to
release
home video.
Yeah. Well, and that time has become so much shorter now too.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Oh, the turnaround time. Yeah.
And yeah, that's neither here nor there. So
overall thoughts, right? I mean, I've come down pretty heavily on parts of it. Most of it has to do with the canonicity of it. And we've talked mm-hmm, a little bit about pacing. I'm disappointed by the special effects in that I want to see all the little things going on in Murderbot's head that they show on the screen.
Yeah.
And when they put that against a dark light background, you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's consistent with the Apple interface.
Yeah. Like right before Murderbot is going to be dipped in the acid bath.
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitate to call it Murderbot because that's not Murderbot. It's a wiped version of our Murderbot.
Right. Right.
It reaches out to the other bots because it's alone and it knows what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm, ping sec unit, ignore.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't like this series as much as like Foundation, and Foundation is so different than the books.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just that like it's so different that it's its own thing, and I appreciate it in that way. Where this, it's close enough that some of the stuff you're like, why do we have to do that? But I did like the extra stuff that showed behind the scenes in the world, right? Where it showed the Sec Unit factory, it showed a little bit of the what goes on a corporation ring station.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely some seedy places,
mm-hmm,
and I like the extra stuff that we got on Garothan in particular.
Mm-hmm.
That was
so
cool.
So I thought, you know, Bob in his email said that he felt like they integrated some extra material without it being clunky. And I agree. It's just like those things that they added that worked didn't feel like filler.
Right.
Whereas Labibi, a little more.
Yeah. I guess the scene where she reaches up and kisses him, they had to shoot that a couple of dozen times, and she would do something different every time. Yeah. And it made it really hard for Alexander to hold his face steady. Mm-hmm. And I guess that the design of the Murderbot helmet was his idea as well. Mm. The idea that the face of the sec unit is the logo for the company. Mm. And you have read
that sounds very company for sure.
It does. Yeah.
I've read all of the novellas and novels.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Just not the short stuff.
So the part where you know that the reason they call it the company is because since we never get to see something live, we're always watching a Murderbot diary episode. Mm-hmm. It has gone back and rewritten the name of the actual name out, and they call it the company everywhere.
Ah,
that's why they call it the company. Because unlike Grey Chris and Delt Fall and Preservation Ox, that name has been erased for its protection.
Interesting.
Of course. You know, now the company knows that there is a rogue sec unit out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I just
don't know it's rogue, right? Because they know that they installed a new governor module. It's in the records.
That's true.
But sec unit has been removed from inventory. All right. About wrapped?
Oh, we can't. There's one thing left to do.
Uh-oh.
What is there left to do?
We have murdered anybody. Do that.
We need to come to a consensus. Is that what it is? We can talk about it. Sorry, I went partially British and partially Australian there.
We have to come to and talk. This is take me to your reader. We have to rank them.
Oh, we have to come to consensus.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. Okay. Yes. Right.
We can rank about it. Colin?
I'm going to go original story series, but it's not a knock on the series. The series is really, really good.
James?
Audiobook. Thin series.
Oh, nice. Okay, which audiobook? Full cast or Kevin R. Free?
Kevin R. Free. Yeah. I'm really enjoying Kevin R. Free's audiobooks.
Yeah. Yes.
was it graphic audio that was the... Or was it just full cast? I mean, graphic audio is a trademark, I think.
No, I think graphic audio did do the full cast.
Okay. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I think I prefer the book as well to the series. I like the series quite a bit. Just not as much as some other series that I really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, it's not a knock on the series. And for people who haven't read the books, it probably does a great job. So I'd be curious to hear from people who have not read them and still decided to listen to this, because we didn't really talk about the book all that much in any of these episodes.
Only in differences in
yeah, right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the major plot points are all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are some characterization differences. There are things they brought in that weren't in there. There's an awful lot of Murderbot snark that we don't get. Mm-hmm. You get glimpses of it. It talks a lot about the company and how the company does this and how the company does that. And
yeah. So, yeah, let us know if you've watched the episodes and somehow listened to these episodes as well. What you think of it as something that isn't even being compared with the book. What did you think of it as it stands alone? Because we don't have that perspective. We couldn't possibly have it. We still don't have the obliviate spell or the memory wipe from the corporation room.
That's right.
So there are times when it'd be nice to be like, you know what, let me purge the memory of that movie and go watch it again for the first time.
But yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So until next time, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off, and may you reach consensus. Or was it consensus?
Consensus, yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so we have some plans, and I know that we had planned to continue the robot series at some point and talk about AI, artificial intelligence, which is based on some Brian Aldiss.
Super Toys Last All Summer.
Yes. And so I know we also have some Stephen King coming up.
Yes, probably all the King you would want and more.
Yeah, because we've got The Running Man in November. The Long Walk, I don't know when that comes out.
Soon. Maybe it's 2026.
Let me look it up real quick.
We could throw a Shawshank.
There's posters at movies on TV. They don't usually
Well, that's not even close to being science fiction, though.
Yeah, I know. But it's still Stephen King.
It is still Stephen King.
What is?
Shawshank. Have you read the original story?
Nope.
No, but I have it now.
Oh, yeah.
We were at a bookstore in Hood River a few weeks ago, and they have a standalone copy of the short story that came out for like 20th anniversary of the movie or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I'm kind of inclined to let's do a run of Stephen King, even if it isn't science fiction.
Right.
Our podcast, our rules. You know, we have,
yeah.
We occasionally stray from the path, you know? And so September is The Long Walk, which is a novel, is it not?
Ish. It's an 80s era novel, which means it's shorter than today's novels.
Okay.
And it's a Bachman book, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Which we've done before. I think Firestarter was Bachman as well. No. Or no, The Running Man.
The Running Man is also, yeah, a Bachman.
So yeah, The Long Walk comes out in September. So if we did Super Toys AI, okay, for August, right, then September we could do The Long Walk. October we'd have to figure something out. And then The Running Man comes out in November.
I mean, something creepy for October, it's Stephen King, that would totally work out.
Shawshank.
Oh, no. I mean, we should do like one of the classic ones, like Carrie.
Right.
Mm. There's more than one adaptation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I want to do that one. Yeah, so let's look and see if there's something we could plug in for October. And then, is there anything Christmassy?
From Stephen King?
Mm-hmm.
Shawshank. No.
Oh, we could do Life of Chuck in October. It's not creepy. But it's already out. It'll creepy, be out on streaming, man, by then.
Gotta do Carrie or Salem's Lot.
Ooh, Salem's Lot had a new adaptation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there a movie adaptation of that one? I've been wanting to read that one for years.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. Okay. I'm not sure.
All right.
Why are you hating on Carrie? That's what I want to know.
I'm not hating on Carrie.
Would you take her to the prom?
You are. You're hating on Carrie. Why are you hating on Carrie?
I wouldn't prank her at the prom. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, don't do that.
You had a bad prom experience, huh?
I didn't go to prom.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I went to dinner. I didn't go to the dance because I went with a girl who wasn't allowed to go to a dance.
What?
So, yeah, conservative.
So. Right.
She was danceless. She had that removed at birth.
I still wore the tux, you know.
She was not footloose or fancy free.
Well, why don't we throw it to the people out there? Tell us, should we definitely do Carrie? Should we do Salem's Lot? Should we do something else creepy, Stephen King? We're not going to do It. That's too much to bite off.
It is phenomenal.
It's two movies now. And there's the Tim Curry one from the 80s, the TV one.
The right? TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open to it, but generally we try not to read the doorstops.
Oh, but it's so good. Actually, let me pitch you something different for August.
Okay.
I know you're a big DC Comics fan, Seth.
I am, yes.
And you're just a big movie fan.
Yep.
Right, James?
And comics.
Yeah.
Why don't we do Superman?
How much Superman?
That's a great question. Which I would Superman? Propose that we do the latest movie, mm-hmm, and see how much we enjoy it. Because I'm assuming you know which comics this particular run of Superman is based on.
I know what the inspirations were for it.
Okay.
But it's not, strictly speaking, based on any comic.
Right. Because there's two or three television series of Superman and three or four movies, mm-hmm, of Superman. Yeah. Doing it would, I mean, we could do it all year if we wanted to, like doing Batman, right, adaptations. But yeah, because it's recent and because it's DC, which I know you like. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to slot in something that may not be your favorite, we could...
I mean, yeah. let me run it down. So I have never seen any of the George Reeves Superman serials, you know, from way back.
Oh, my, right? God. So there's like three television series.
Well, there's that. Or more. There is in the... There's the Adventures of Lois and Clark with noted asshat Dean Cain.
Yes.
Who thinks that the new movie is woke for some reason because...
Right. It has an alien.
Reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's Superboy.
Superboy.
Short-lived series, yes, which I did see a couple episodes of, but not much. Smallville.
Dang. Smallville. Obviously.
And then there's the CW universe introduced Superman on Supergirl.
Right.
And then spun, right, it off into its own show in a different universe. So they didn't have to deal with any continuity.
Right.
Or other heroes. Is that? And then there's, of course, the Christopher Reeve movies, Brandon Routh movie, Henry Cavill. And then the latest.
Yeah.
And I probably missed something. Oh, the Nicolas Cage one, of course.
No.
That one only exists in the Flash movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a funny kickback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's I don't know. I'm not convinced. I like the idea. We had talked about doing graphic novels.
Right.
And if we're going to do that, I would rather stick to stuff that's more directly adapted from a graphic novel.
Ooh. Okay.
Like Watchmen.
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd.
I would want to do it just because it's awesome. Yes. And or at least the newest movie is.
Yeah, it is. Dredd's friggin' rad.
That but I don't think it's drawn from a particular run of 2000 AD. Or is that 2000 AD? I don't know. 2100 AD? I can't remember what it is now. Something. 2 something AD. And like Scott Pilgrim was another one that I wanted to do. Men in Black would be fun. So
yeah, Men in Black. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Well, let's think about it, and we'll let people respond and say, yes, absolutely do some Superman. And give us your suggestions on what we should cover, because I don't think we would really be able to cover any of the television stuff.
No, that's what I was saying. Keep it very specific, very recent. Mm-hmm. Just do this. Let's see how we like it. And maybe we do more later when we want to.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't love to do Batman.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that could be fun. Right. Okay. So let us know about any of that you want us to do. If you favor Stephen King, press 1 on your Touchstone phone. If you... Yes, let us know. In the meantime, I think we did rank them. Yes, we did.
We did. Yep.